knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
I forgot who he was. Who is he?
He's Dean, Dean, Dean. World traveler Dean Richards joins us right now. Dean, I heard a little about your trip to Greece on during the weekend show. Sounds like you had a pretty good time.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. It was first Italy and then Croatia, split Croatia, and then several of the islands in Greece. One of those WGN radio cruises. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time, great bunch of listeners.
I heard you love Santorini.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever been?
No.
Have you ever gone? It is, it's just breathtaking everywhere you look. Everywhere you look, absolutely beautiful and delicious. They're famous for their white wine there, so I didn't want to be rude. So,
no, you can't be.
You know, I wanted to, you know, partake of
sure,
that.
Sure, you did the right thing.
Delicious food. I will just say this about Santorini. I'm really afraid of heights, really afraid of heights.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Santorini is built on a volcano, so if you want to go from the sea, from the Aegean Sea to the where the villages are on the top of the volcano,
yes,
you can either walk, and that takes forever.
Which Judy Pilate complained about because she was just there as well. Remember, she said she had to walk upstairs forever.
Yeah, you don't have to walk upstairs forever, but that's one of the three options. Because you can also take a donkey.
Oh.
And I would pay money to put Judy Pilate on a donkey just to see that. And a donkey climbing all those stairs. Or you can take a cable car.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah, which...
Because you get breathtaking views from the cable car,
but
I would imagine.
If you're afraid of heights.
If you're not petrified of heights with your eyes closed and whimpering like a wounded puppy.
Hey, isn't that Dean Richards from the WGN TV Morning News crying like a little baby? What's going on with that guy?
That's almost not an exaggeration. But, you know, I manned up for, for the big two-minute cable car ride.
Yeah.
You manned up when you had to walk off of it.
Well, and then kiss the ground when I got out.
Sure. Sure. And the food is spectacular everywhere, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. In Italy and Croatia and Greece. It was really nice. I'm going to recommend anyone that is going to Europe, I highly recommend October because it's not crazy hot like it always is.
Yeah.
And the crowds have thinned out a little bit. It was still a little bit crowded, but not too bad. The weather was just absolutely perfect. And... yeah, but it's good to be back.
Dean's list?
There's nothing. The trip?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, A+. Plus.
A+. Plus.
Definitely A+. Plus. But only topped by that great feeling of having the alarm clock go off the first day that you're back.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it?
To go back to work.
You need a vacation from a vacation.
You do.
Yes, you do.
That's very true. I'm exhausted from being back.
We've not spoken to you at all, Dean, since the Harvey Weinstein situation.
Has there been something going on?
No, not much. Not much. What do you think the fallout will be in Hollywood? I don't mean today, I don't mean tomorrow, but over an extended period of time because of this. What do you think will happen in the long run?
Well, I hope the fallout extends itself to more than just Hollywood because the problem of predators like Harvey Weinstein and people committing sexual assault on others is not limited to just Hollywood. That just happens to be a very visible target right at the moment. But anybody who has been in any business will tell you that they've experienced it also, as you know, we've seen with this Alyssa Milano campaign, this Me Too campaign, where people are posting their experiences in other lines of work. It is happening, but Harvey Weinstein is a very visible. You know, he's a very powerful man in Hollywood for a very long time.
Had you heard stories? Were there ever any rumors that you had heard over the years about him or not?
I had never heard stories about assault like this before. The creepy stories were. Well, just, you know, describing all the things that have been alleged about him. I heard that he was a womanizer. I did hear that gossip.
Yeah. And a womanizer is different than this, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty different than, you know, what? Well, yeah, I don't even want to get into the description. I'm getting ready to have lunch. I don't want to spoil my day.
What about Matt Damon and George Clooney, who are acting like this? They knew he was a womanizer as well. I don't know. I don't know that I believe them. I feel they knew something more.
Well, maybe they did. I mean, there have been a lot of people who you know, honestly, I have to say, part of the thing that's a little disturbing to me about this, and by in no means do I mean to make this sound like victim blaming at all. It's not. But if people knew about this for years,
yeah,
as some have alleged, people should have said something before this. I realize he's a powerful man. I realize the vast implications that go on. Had people said something, but people should have said something. It should have never gotten this out of control.
And some people, like I believe Ashley Judd said she did say something to somebody, but that somebody should have maybe been the police.
Right. Yeah,
you know?
With the kind of assaults that
yeah.
we're now hearing about. I think to answer your original question, what's going to be the fallout of this? I hope the fallout's going to be that we don't live in a world anymore where this is even remotely acceptable. That this could possibly even happen completely blows my mind. That there are people out there that do that sort of thing, and we've heard story after story about different directors and different different people, not only in the media, in different lines of work. George Clooney, I talked to him last weekend, and he talked quite a bit about this, and so did Matt Damon and Julianne Moore, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Clooney told me that his wife, Amal, who is one of the most successful human rights lawyers in the world, and you would think a pretty powerful person can pretty much handle any sleazeball that comes along,
mm-hmm.
she's had it happen to her. Same thing happened
to
her.
No one's immune.
So, I mean, the fact that anybody thinks that they can get away with this
right.
is shocking to me.
But Dean, what do you make of a situation like this? One of the women who came forth immediately was Mira Sorvino. She was one of the first ladies who said, yeah, I've had some instances with Harvey Weinstein that are terrible instances. So at the time, her boyfriend is Quentin Tarantino. She tells him the story. He feels awful about it, but still continues to work with Harvey on projects for right. years after.
Yeah, and he's since said that he regrets that he never said anything. Well, people can't do that anymore. It's not victim blaming, but why would Quentin Tarantino not say something?
Right.
If that was going on, if that was going on with your wife, if that's going on with a girlfriend, or you know of some place where that's going on, you know that it's happening and you don't say anything.
There's
something very wrong with me about that. I don't, I would even go so far as to say, well, I might lose my job. I might not get another job in the industry. If someone is being raped, if someone's being sexually assaulted, shame on you, whatever the consequences are
yeah.
for not saying something about it.
And Bill, you mentioned before Paul Sorvino, her dad, also in show business.
Sure.
I don't know. Would she have said something to her dad?
You would hope.
And how could a father not have reacted to that?
Right.
Yeah.
How
Impossible.
Does a father not react if you hear that something like that happened to your daughter?
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow, again, she comes from a show. Her father, Bruce Paltrow, was a producer for years. Her mother's an actress. A lot of the women, if you look at the list, have this show business lineage. You'd think somewhere along the chain somebody would have said or done something to make this stop.
And you'd almost think they'd be immune to it or from it because they're sort of already in show business.
Yeah, and at a certain point, you're at a certain level of your own success. He's not going to drum you out of the business,
right?
If you're Gwyneth Paltrow,
right?
If you are, actress of a certain stature, you're not going to be drummed out of the business. But all that's water under the bridge. The point that I was making to Clooney and Damon and Julianne Moore is that this has happened. Whoever knew about it, knew about it. Whoever said something or didn't say something, that's all fine and good. Where do we move from today on?
Yeah.
What do we do from now on? And that's, to me, that's got to be the upside of this whole thing. That's got to be the only good thing that's going to come out of this, is that everyone will feel safe saying something if something like that, if someone is crazy enough or pathologically sick enough to continue to still do something like this, that there will be swift and very decisive consequences.
Let's hope. Dean Richards is our guest. We'll talk about what new movies are coming out this weekend next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're in the midst of talking to Dean Richards. And if I may, because I don't participate much in this segment, there's a movie that I have seen the trailer for that might make me get my butt to a theater, and it is Suburbicon. It looks so good and weird.
And Coen Brothers-y.
All of the above. Yeah. I'll give you all of those things.
Darn.
But here's a movie where the parts of the movie, the little working parts of the movie, all of which were kind of impressive and would get Wendy to move her butt, if I may quote the aforementioned Wendy, just don't come together. Just don't congeal together, I'm afraid. Because it does look really cool, stylish. Sort of late 50s, early 60s looking, ideal suburban setting. You know, the world is, life in the suburbs is all great and perfect, and everyone is, living a wonderful life out there. But behind the scenes, behind closed doors, things are not what they seem. This is a story that looks like it could have been a Coen Brothers story because it was written by the Coen Brothers, along with the director of the movie, one Mr. George Clooney. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
Young, promising, young...
From Facts of Life.
From Facts of Life.
Yeah.
I hear he's up for a part on ER.
Oh.
Yeah, he may get something on ER.
Oh.
Is that even still on? No, I guess it's not.
Not anymore.
No, well, maybe Grey's Anatomy. Maybe we can get him on Grey's Anatomy or something like that. But anyway, George Clooney directs this movie that stars Matt Damon and Julianne Moore as members of this suburban community where an insurance scam takes place in this idyllic, perfect suburban world. Behind the scenes, an insurance scam takes place, and that's one of the plot lines of this movie. At the same time, across the street from this perfect, idyllic world, is the first African-American family to move into the idyllic suburban world. And a lovely family, very, very nice people and taking care of their house. And they're trying to, kind of fit in with this idyllic world out there, except nobody wants a black family living in this idyllic world. So here's another subplot of this movie that's going on at the same time. And they're two weird and disturbing and quirky stories as these two subplots develop. And one just keeps getting in the way of the other over and over and over and over again. So it kind of dilutes what possible impact there could have been in this movie. Style-wise, it looks very cool. I mean, it's shot very beautifully. It's got that era perfectly captured, but you get ripped out of one subplot to go back into the other, and there just doesn't seem to be a point to either one of these two things. So, unfortunately for me, although, you've got a great pool of talent in this movie, you've got great credentials with the writer and director, I just didn't think that they brought it all together. And I wound up just giving it a Dean's List C. Now, maybe, Wendy, that's enough to...
Is that enough? A C? A bouncy C?
Get your butt rolling again.
Wait for video.
Yeah.
I would easily recommend.
Oh, that's too bad.
All right.
Dean, the other big release is Thank You for Your Service. What about that one?
Yeah, that stars Miles Teller.
Love him.
Who we know from Whiplash, who we know from The Divergent movies, among many others. To me, he reminds me of sort of a young Sean Penn.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what I get from him. He really gets his teeth.
With some Shia LaBeouf thrown in.
Some
Shia LaBeouf thrown in, just for fun.
Yeah, man, I love the Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
How Sammy Davis Jr. somehow got in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There is a little Shia LaBeouf in there as well.
And Myrna Loy. Do you get that too? Is it just me?
I do feel
a little bit.
Myrna
just
Loy,
a little bit.
A little once in a while.
Yeah. You're nuts, Bill.
This is a true story of an Iraqi war veteran by the name of Adam Schumann.
Schumann,
man, with Shia. Schumann, Shia, and Myrna Loy. He's all starring in Thank You for Your Service.
Yeah.
Post-vacation buzz.
Yeah.
I am still drunk on that Santorini wine.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie.
That's right.
he and a bunch of buddies from his unit, after brutal action in Iraq, returned home again, and how these soldiers deal with being out of the service and trying to fit back into civilian life again, I think is a really interesting one, because some of the guys that this movie focuses on are dealing with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are dealing with their own personal demons that they have. Some of them, as you know, we've seen in other movies, you know, have gotten just so used to being in the service, the idea of being in civilian life is really foreign and odd to them.
Sure.
So it's a bunch of really interesting and often very difficult to watch situations of these young soldiers trying to fit back into civilian life. Miles Teller is great in this movie. All the other young actors who play the other Iraqi war veterans in this movie are gut-wrenching. They're gut-wrenchingly great.
Yeah.
I think this is a really great, powerful, and mostly important movie because, you know, we thank our servicemen and women for their service when we have the opportunity to do that. A lot of times we don't know what they're dealing with quietly behind
sure.
closed doors.
Hmm.
And this movie, I think, shows that. And maybe will help us all pay a little more attention to that. So I gave this a B+.
Oh, that's good news.
Thank you for your service.
That's excellent. Dean, welcome back. We're glad to have you back.
It's good to be back with you all again. And Wendy, good to see you.
Nice to see you, baby.
Yeah. Nice to see you moving that butt, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Dean Richards.
Should I have said that in
no,
this?
No. Can I just say, though, that people would go, oh, God, I don't care. It's fine. It's all in fun. You're not doing anything wrong. Let's not be
this
so
time.
Sensitive.
This
yeah, this time. That's
yep.
true. Thank you, Dean.
But I have a new sensitivity about it. Now,
sensitivity.
It's good, though.
Stop it.
Oh,
I know.
Never mind. Share, baby, share.
See you later.
Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leffin and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.